From Fox News, Paul and I spent a lot of time together traipsing around New Hampshire, covering the candidates primarily with the Democratic primary. But there were some candidates trying to get some attention to run against President Trump in the New Hampshire primary. Didn't quite work out.
No.
Paul joins us now on the phone. Paul, good morning.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. That's like the good old days. The primaries. I can barely remember that now. That was, so long ago. And then, after New Hampshire was over, started traveling all around the country for Fox News for all the other primaries, and then boom, everybody stopped. No more travel. We've resumed.
It's funny because, like, after Super Tuesday, all of a sudden, and COVID hit, like, all of a sudden,
that's it.
The primary politics just literally just ground to a stop. And it was fascinating how quickly we forgot that Super Tuesday happened, right? I mean, the COVID took right over. Last night, how did you handle last night? Did you double screen it? Did you DVR it? Like, how did you approach the dueling town halls?
I was lucky because Fox News, we have a pretty big organization, obviously. I just had to deal with Biden. So I watched Biden and filed a couple stories and then separately filed a story. I confirmed the $75 million Sheldon Adelson was dishing out to help Trump in the final month of the campaign. But I only watched Biden. I did see the clips of Trump after it.
Well, let me ask you then, in terms of, one thing that's been will be debated today on this network, especially, is that do you think that George Stephanopoulos should have asked about the New York Post story related to Hunter Biden and all of the issues with that computer that had been found? Do you think that that was fair game, or do you think he should have stayed away from it like he did?
It's
a big spot out there. Whether you believe it or not, the story's got a lot of holes in it. Let's be honest. It's coming from Rudy Giuliani,
that's a fair point.
That's suspect right there. But all that said, I think he should have brought it up. This gives the president and his supporters more, more arguments, more ammunition to make the case that the media is just totally slanted against him. The election is rigged, and that's unfortunate.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of people that are for Trump simply because they see who's against him. And that kind of ups, and it seems like all the cool kids are against Trump. I mean, from what I can tell, a lot of people in the media, a lot of people in politics, clearly, a lot of the newspapers, well, media, I repeat myself. But nevertheless, it's funny. All the pretty people are like for Biden. And I don't think they're for Biden. I just think they're against Trump. You gave up. You there?
Oh, God, yeah, I'm still here. I don't know if you wanted me to jump in. Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's a very good point. The Democratic Party has never been this united, and independents as well,
right.
Many leading towards, and it's not because of their love for Joe Biden. No, it's because they want to get Donald Trump out of the White House,
yep.
And they want to get him out of the White House in 18 days. And if Biden wins, and maybe the Democrats even take back the Senate, that kumbaya, though, is going to quickly fade. And there's going to be a division within the Democratic Party going forward between the left wing and an emboldened AOC and the Squad and others versus the center.
Well,
that battle is on hold right now. But if Biden wins and the Democrats, have a good night in November, that battle resumes.
Well, you can actually even see it already with Biden equivocating on the Green New Deal stuff. And you can see the bristling on certain components of the left about it,
right.
And they are biting their collective tongues, it seems, because of it.
Until.
But you're right about that, Paul. And I also want to talk about all politics is local, and what's going on in New Hampshire. And I felt when I was in there for the primary that and Ray and I have talked about it, he cites the southern New Hampshire sort of Boston suburb, more maybe left-leaning vote, and then there's the rural part of New Hampshire, which is very firmly in Trump camp. The polls seem to indicate that Biden is ahead in New Hampshire, but I always got the sense that there was a real strong presence for Trump in that state, and he seems to care a lot. He's gone to New Hampshire as much as he's gone just about anywhere.
Yeah.
What is your sense of where New Hampshire stands? Because that electoral contribution seems to be something that's going to be important.
We've been a battleground. Listen, we're all New Hampshire is known as the first in the nation primary state, right? We've been doing that for a century. But for about a generation now, we've been a crucial general election battleground state. Only 4 electoral votes, the smallest of the battlegrounds,
right.
But an important one. This cycle, if you believe the polls, and that's still a big if because of what happened 4 years ago. If you believe them, this is not a good state for Trump right now. Biden, in the last 3 public opinion polls, UNH, St. A's, and the Boston Globe poll done by Suffolk University all indicate Biden with a double-digit lead, 10 to 12 points in this state. I think a lot of people on the ground think it is closer, though it is in Biden's favor. There are a lot of Trump supporters here, not just in the rural areas. Remember, there's a heavy population in southern New Hampshire. A lot of Massachusetts voters that have moved over the borders right. in the last 20 to 30 years who are not Democrats. They left Massachusetts because there was too much.
Right, one party, essentially, with the exception
right.
of the governor.
So there is a heavy Trump base here, but I think overall this still is a going to be a Biden. It sure appears to be a Biden state. The only Republican right now that who looks like is in the driver's seat is the governor, Chris Sununu, who's up for a running for a third right. 2-year term.
You know, here's one thing I was wondering about, and this has not been an issue, but it is kind of an issue, and it certainly came up after 2016, and that's the Electoral College. And there are a lot of people who say get rid of it. Well, the fact of the matter is, with four electoral votes, would you really even need to go to New Hampshire?
There's a lot of opposition here, even by Democrats, to that idea. Well, we all know why a lot of people on the left were talking about that 4 years
sure.
ago, right? Because
inversion.
For the second time in 20 years, you had a president who was elected without winning the popular vote. And I think if Biden wins, and Biden wins convincingly in November, I think a lot of people on the left will be forgetting about that.
It's interesting. Yeah, yeah, that's true. We're talking with Paul Steinhauser from Fox News. And obviously, so you've been on back on the road. So what has it been like in terms of the COVID era travel? I mean, give us a little insight, because I haven't been on a plane since March. It's been even longer for Ray. And
March I was.
Oh, you were in March. And in terms of not only just what you see and experience, but also what other people in other parts of the country are doing relative to New Hampshire and Connecticut.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been on a plane either. I was in Cleveland for the first presidential debate a couple of weeks ago. I drove.
Did you really?
I couldn't get a nonstop flight out of Logan to Cleveland. And, you know, I said, you forget it. I'm rather than wearing a mask for 6-7 hours and changing planes in an airport, I'm just going to be in my car and more comfortable. So I have driven everywhere I've gone on the road outside of New England the last 2 months. It is very different. And I cover Biden, right? So they're not doing large campaign events. All they're doing are very small, socially distant events with people wearing masks. So that's what I'm used to. The debate, covering a presidential debate, is usually very different than it was this time. There wasn't a lot to do because there weren't as many people out there. The campaigns weren't even really out there with the people who were spinning. Everything is very, very different this time around, except, you know, the president, of course, has resumed those rallies, and that kind of is a remembrance of the old days, but there's obviously a lot of criticism over that because the people aren't socially distanced. They're not wearing, most of them are not wearing masks, and they're often breaking restrictions that states are placing.
Right. By the way, one of the things I always hear, they're saying, okay, you're upset because Trump's having these rallies. And yet, you know, when Black Lives Matter or Antifa or anybody protests in the street, not maintaining any distance, you don't criticize that. I you know, it's curious to me in a sense.
Well, you know, that is definitely a talking point that the Trump campaign and a lot of conservatives are saying, you know, is there a double standard here, right? Why are...
I think there is.
Right. I think that they're very different situations, though, in that, you know, these campaign events are planned by the campaigns. It's just a different style of campaigning amid the coronavirus. We'll see which side... You know, the Biden campaign also, for months and months, they just started doing it now, but for months and months, they avoided door knocks,
canvassing,
all the traditional ways that campaigns get out the vote, make sure their supporters get out the vote. What have they been doing? They've been doing it on the phone and virtually exclusively. The Trump campaign over the summer, probably in June or July, started doing the canvassing again, having their volunteers and campaign grassroots organizers out there. We'll see which method was more successful. We'll find out in a couple weeks.
I don't answer the phone ever, so it doesn't work with me. Paul, we appreciate the insight.
Thank you, Paul. It's been fun. All right. It's fun and informative, I might add.